What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Forgotten Jesus Podcast. My name is Andrew Bolton. And of course, we've got Robbie Gowdy. And joining us again today is none other than Miss Candy Gowdy.
Hey.
So good to have y'all here. Okay, so Pastor, today.
You don't even have to call her Miss, by the way.
Well, I mean, I grew up in the South. It's just what I do.
Well, she's not Miss.
It's what I do. Miserous Candy Gowdy. Candace. Candy, what's your whole name?
Candace Ross Gowdy.
Okay, all right. We will work that in. So,
Ross.
Speaking of names, today we are talking about a Mamzer named Matthew.
Ooh, good segue right there. The Mamzer named Matthew. Now, we're talking about the Gospel Matthew that Matthew wrote. We're talking about the Mamzer last week. If you missed last week, you need to go back and listen. But Matthew talks about the Mamzer. So what is the Mamzer, just for recap?
Candy, what is a Mamzer?
Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering correctly, it's someone of illegitimate birth. Someone who's an outcast.
An outcast. So it could be an outcast of any type, right?
Of any
kind. Okay. An outcast of any kind. Someone who, now, it could be of illegitimate birth, obviously, but it could be overlooked or looked over. Mm-hmm. Someone who has a
sickness,
disease, a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And the case of Matthew.
Three arms.
Could be, but I don't think we see that in scripture.
I mean, throwing out examples.
But could be. Anything abnormal. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything not of the normal, cut from the cloth of acceptability in the first century. So what I would say is Mamzer is who Matthew is laser focused on to identify in his gospel, okay? So what we're going to do is I'm going to take you on a little journey from the Sermon on the Mount where we left off last week.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 8, Jesus comes down from teaching on what the kingdom of heaven looks like. He gives us an ethic for how to live in the kingdom. And Jesus comes down and he comes face to face with a man who has
leprosy,
which is the first of the three big messianic miracles. Now, we talk about the messianic miracles, those who are what? Have leprosy.
Right.
Jesus is going to heal them, proving he's the Messiah.
He's going to heal somebody born blind.
Born blind.
And somebody who is mute.
Yes, cast out a demon of someone who is mute and blind.
Okay, now let me show you why. I forgot to do this last week for time, but let me show you why this is a messianic miracle.
Okay.
Go with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, and I want you to read this line, and this line shows us Jesus knows and they know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It says, then Jesus told him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.
Oh, that's a pregnant line with meaning. Now, let me show you a couple of things. Don't tell anybody here, okay? This ain't even for them. This is not even really for you.
Oh, wow.
Watch this. This ain't for them or you.
Yeah.
Immediately. So don't tell anyone means grab your stuff and go now.
Right.
Okay? Grab the first flight out. Go show yourself to the who?
The priest.
To the priest, who were the inspectors, the interrogators of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones waiting. This is the priests were the go-between between God and the people. They were the ones waiting for the Messiah, obviously. Go show yourself to the priests so that they could start the process of what? Look what it says. Offering the gift that Moses commanded. Why? So there was a process. You got to offer a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And when you offer a gift based on the testimony of someone doing a messianic miracle, it's going to be a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
What does testimony mean? A sign
mm-hmm.
that I'm who I say I am.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, we missed that. We read that our whole life.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Jesus just saying, hey, go show the miracle off. No.
Right.
Jesus is in a very specific way saying, this is a sign you've been waiting to see. I'm performing the sign. Go show it to them, see what they say. Now, you would expect the priest at that point to say, thank God, he's finally here.
Right.
But the opposite happens.
Skeptical. And let me ask you this. So this is a local priest. So these priests would have known this guy had leprosy. It wouldn't have been a secret.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The local priests, yes, would have basically led to the larger collection of priests, which would have been at the temple in Jerusalem. So this man's sign makes it all the way to the big house.
Yeah.
Okay, this is all the way back to Jerusalem. And basically, you would think they would say, thank God he's here. Well, what happens is the opposite. they are mad and start to interrogate and attack Jesus. Why? Because the Sadducean priesthood at this time is corrupt. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
If we didn't, we will. The Sadducean priesthood is corrupt. They are all about power and control and money and possessions and limelight and fame and fortune. And the last thing they want to do is lose control of the temple to a rabbi from Galilee of Nazareth.
Wow.
And so the opposite happens. Okay.
It now, disrupts their corruption.
Ooh, that's good. It disrupts the corruption.
Wow.
That's exactly right. Now, let's follow the journey. So the very next thing Jesus is going to do, look what it says, verse 5. Candy, read verse 5 of Matthew chapter 8. Just follow your Bible and see what Matthew's doing here.
When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible agony."
Okay, here's the question. Who is this man?
Well, this man.
He's a centurion.
A centurion.
Okay. What is a centurion?
A soldier.
A soldier. Jewish or Roman?
Roman.
Roman. Gentile or Jew?
Gentile.
Gentile. The very next healing Jesus is going to perform is on who? A Roman Gentile soldier.
Wow.
Outcast.
Yeah.
Another way to say it is what?
Yeah.
A Mamzer. So if you're journaling, if you're journeying along like I am in my Bible, Matthew 8:1, I have written in my Bible, Mamzer. Matthew 8, maybe we could put this online. People can see. Matthew 8:2, Matthew 8:5, Mamzer. Let's keep going. Flip the page. Okay. Flip the page to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28.
Okay.
Go again.
When he had come to the other side.
Okay, stop there. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Now we're looking for it. What is the other side?
The Decapolis.
Mamzerland.
Mamzerland. I should have renamed it.
Mamzerland. That is literally the other side. Right. That is the overlooked, looked over side. Mm-hmm. He goes to the other side, to the region of what?
Why doesn't it say Decapolis in the text?
That's a good question. The authors will use different names based on different purposes. So, for example, the Sea of Galilee is also called
Sea of Tiberias.
Tiberias, the Sea of Gennesaret. The Sea of Galilee, Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Tiberias.
Does the audience that they're writing to change the words that they use?
Possibly.
Yes, and I would say it's not by accident. You're onto it. It's not just they slip of the tongue.
Right, right. They know who they're writing to.
Yeah, when I say Hendersonville or Shackle Island or Sumner County, it's all the same three things where we live here in Nashville, in the Nashville area, but it's all three different purposes. You would see a different perspective, okay?
That's good.
The problem is we don't know those perspectives, and we'll get to them in this podcast, which is why you're here.
That's right.
You're learning these insights.
That's a great question, Candy.
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, let's read it. Other side to the Gadarenes. To visit who?
Two demon-possessed men.
Okay, so these are outcasts. Let's go down to, so now we continue on. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. This is where we will unpack our bags.
Okay.
And notice.
And Jesus went on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him,
hold on. Don't even say it yet. Don't say it yet. Because we can't get there.
Okay, we're not there
yet. What we're going to meet is the Mamzer of Mamzers.
So is Matthew writing in third person right now?
Yes. Yes.
Good point.
He's writing, he's writing in the third person. Now, this is not uncommon. Who did this in the book of Corinthians? The Apostle Paul, when he said, I don't know if the man was in the in the body or out of the body, he went to the third heaven. You know, this I don't know, you know, did I see or not see? Paul does this, so this is not an uncommon practice. But the reality is we have Matthew here writing about himself as the chief Mamzer.
Right.
So notice the progression here. You start with the leper, then you go to a Gentile Roman on the Jewish side, then you go to a demon-possessed man on the opposite side, and then you're stopping at Matthew.
Okay. I mean, you're hitting them all.
Crazy that the tax collector, out of all these things, is the Mamzer of all Mamzers. Like, the outcast of all outcasts is not the guy with leprosy.
Yes.
It's the guy that takes your money.
Okay, why? Okay, that's the question, because that's going to answer the question, why is he the chief of Mamzers? So I'd pose it to you listening. Why is Matthew the chief of all Mamzers?
Do you want me to answer that?
I want you to answer that.
I would say because he was viewed as a traitor.
a traitor. See, the Jewish people could accept the fact that you were born as an outcast, as a Gentile. That was something that you were born into. What they could not get their mind around was the fact that you became an outcast. You became an enemy of the state. Mm. You became an opposition to the people of God. That's something they couldn't stomach. So that's why, interestingly enough, every time you see the name tax collector, it's always associated with one word.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Yep.
What is it?
Sinners.
Tax collectors and sinners. Always connected. Now, a tax collector, Andrew, just to give you a backstory, was someone raised of Jewish descent in the nation. They had to be born of the Jewish culture. They were raised in the tabernacle and temple or temple growing up. They participated in the festivals and feasts.
Wow.
They read the word of God.
They're one of us.
They're one of us.
Yeah. Right.
One of us. Their dad is an important part of the community. They went through yeshiva school just like everyone else. They heard the word of God weekly on Shabbat, but something happened along the way. Now, I'm going to give you my guess of what happened to Matthew. We don't know for sure. But apparently Matthew, and The Chosen does a really interesting job. They kind of fill the gaps. And you notice Matthew in The Chosen, it's almost like he has Asperger's. It's like he has a relational challenge there. And if you want to read into that, the question is, why does he have that? Possibly that disqualified him from a position in the priesthood. Mm-hmm. Here's my suggestion. Matthew's name originally was what?
Levi.
And Levi, according to the 12 tribes of Israel, the Levites, Andrew, were the priests.
Wow.
Now, I don't know this for sure, but this is
a strong
idea I have here.
Okay, so what about, wait. Okay, so.
The wheels are turning.
I'm excited. Okay, whatever this is
going
to be.
Yeah.
Levi, his name, okay, is priest.
Yes.
And I have no idea. This is just me, okay. But
well, let
also
me say, what
the
we
priesthood...
like to do on this podcast is, you know, I learned in seminary, when the Bible speaks, you speak. When the Bible is silent, I speculate. Now, that's not what we're talking about. But again, you have to just preface what you're going to say with, we don't know.
Sure.
But this is what I think the Lord likes the fact when we think about some of these things, and you have to do it in context.
Yeah.
You have to do it in a context.
Yes, context.
Because you don't want to get off in heretical thinking and you go off in something.
Right.
But in this context, I think it's
okay. Well, you were saying, Candace.
So if his name is Levi, priesthood, we know the priesthood is corrupt.
Right.
And then we have him in being a tax collector. And is it somehow God saying, yes, I know that this corruption exists, but I will eventually redeem all of that corruption by calling Matthew? Do you know what I'm saying?
Candy's going real deep,
really
deep on the pictures.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I like that. What she's saying is, which possibly
because his name
be right.
is Levi, yeah. and it has to have some connection here with the priesthood being corrupt. He is from a line of priests, from the tribe of Levi, but yet he's not functioning in that role.
He's actually still corrupt. Yes.
Right?
He's not a part of the people of God. He's now against the people of God.
But then God goes to him.
And they would have instantly known that Levi meant this.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something they would have been thinking about, talking about probably.
Well, and then God changes his...
It'd be just like the word pastor. Do you know what the word pastor means? You don't have to have a definition. You know pastor means pastor of a church or pastor of a ministry.
And how does he become to be called Matthew?
That's a good question. We're going to get there.
And what does Matthew mean?
We're going to get there. These are all great questions, but they're way too fast.
I can only imagine.
These are
really
good questions.
We're never going to get through these episodes
The point is, there's no end date.
Right.
I mean, we're just gone. Now, the listeners are dying to get into expositional, exegetical parts of the Bible, which we will, but we're not there yet. You see why this is so important, Andrew. Okay, let me tell you why.
Well, we are there. We're there slowly.
Slowly.
You got to think. This is expositional. What do you mean?
It's marinating.
Yeah, and here's the thing about reading the Bible. You got to remember, we talk about this a lot, but the Eastern culture read the Bible and digested the Bible differently than the Western American Hellenistic influenced culture, which we'll get to Hellenism in an upcoming episode, which is crucial to understanding Jesus. But the Western culture reads the Bible for information about a particular topic.
Right.
So we learn insights. We get scriptures in our mind so we can quote them and you know, have them ready and answer questions and pass tests or play Bible trivia. The Jewish culture of Jesus' day, the Eastern culture, read the Bible for intimacy with a person.
That's good.
That's good.
It was all so sometimes intimacy with a person requires you to slow down.
Absolutely. For sure,
and just chew on a few words and read slowly and go deeply. Okay. So we're doing something very Hebraic right here. Okay. So his name's Levi. Candy's point is maybe that's a picture. Again, the Jewish people thought in pictures. So maybe Jesus going to the Levite priest, the those who are supposed Matthew, what are you doing at a tax table? You're supposed to be in the priesthood serving God, but here you are. Not only absent, I mean, not only ambivalent to the nation, you are absent or yeah, you're against the nation.
Right.
Right. You're an obstacle to the nation. You're an opponent to the nation. Mm-hmm. You're a hindrance to the work of God. So a tax collector, Matthew's sake, I think, is this. Matthew's growing up, and for some reason, he's not in part of the priesthood. And so someone comes to him, but he realizes he's probably really good with numbers. He has an issue with relationships, so he doesn't have a problem turning on his own people. And this Roman delegate is sent down to Capernaum, which is a very lucrative place because it's one of the main routes on the fishing stop from the north area of Damascus in Babylon as you come down toward Jerusalem. So this is a prime spot for a lucrative business. He sees this young boy, probably in his teens, and he says, hey, man, you want to make some money? And he's like, yeah, I like making money. Now, it's going to require you to turn in your own people. No, I don't think I want to do that. Well, you don't understand. You'll be the richest person in town. You'll have every designer sandal known to man. You know, you'll wear the best robes. You'll have the nicest belts. And, you know, Matthew is debating, and you'll work for the Roman government, and you'll be invited to the big parties. Well, Matthew probably goes back and forth about it, decides to take the job. And the moment he takes the job, it is basically a cutting off from everything he knows. It's basically a chapter of a book closing, actually a book closing and a new book opening.
Yeah.
His parents, by law, are required to cut him off.
Wow.
He can never go to the temple again. He can never celebrate the festivals again. He never goes into the synagogue. He is outcast from the synagogue. He can never hear the word of God read again. And so the case I want to make is Matthew, I believe, misses the presence and the power and the voice of God. Now, he's making a lot of money here, and obviously he's got a pretty lucrative operation going on. And so he's in this town called Capernaum. Of all the towns that Jesus is going to make his home base, and by the way, Jesus was in Capernaum, Tiberias, and Chorazin. Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin, I think of the three, this is a triangle. The three towns Jesus is going to spend 90% of his ministry in. Most of it's in Peter's hometown of his family, Capernaum. One of our favorite places to go in Israel is to the actual synagogue where Jesus would have worshiped in weekly, where we stand in the place. There's not many places, Andrew, you could say Jesus stood here.
Right.
We stand here, and in Hebrew, we recite the exact prayer Jesus would have said in the exact spot, in the exact place. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta Adonai Eloheinu. We say that together. And it is, there's not a dry eye in the synagogue. Okay.
So let me ask you this. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Matthew was from Capernaum? Or that's just where he was collecting taxes?
We don't know for sure. We don't know for sure. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he moved to be away from his family. I
was
don't
just
know.
Wondering if that was the synagogue that he would have been like raised in. Could have been.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? The Romans could have given him a post to take up there.
Sure. That's true.
So he's there. Let's finish it up because we're almost done. We're going to land this plane. So Matthew's there. He has to sit in a way at the tax table that is an earshot of the synagogue, meaning he has to know what's going on. So he's not allowed in the synagogue, but he hears it. And he sees Jesus walking through the town and gathering disciples and preaching and healing people. And his heart, I believe, yearns to be a part of something bigger than what he is. You gotta remember, when he made this decision, there's no turning back. Another thing too, let me heighten the drama. Not only can Matthew not go to the synagogue or the temple. Matthew lives in a perpetual state of sin.
Right.
Mm. What does that mean? He cannot make an offering to atone for his sin. Imagine if someone said to you, you screwed up royally and there is no forgiveness.
Yeah.
You're done. The decision you made is done. We don't even have a category for what that's like. That's the position he's in. And Jesus, this rabbi, comes by. This is the most moving talk I give in Israel because it reminds me of me.
Right, that's literally what I'm thinking right now, of myself.
Dude, when I talk about Matthew, it reminds me of me. And Jesus comes to him, watch this. And it says, while he's reclining at the table, hanging at the tax booth, Jesus simply says these three words, follow me. Wow. And watch this. It says he got up and followed him immediately.
Wow.
Now, let me just share with you what that means. The moment Matthew pushes the chair back and moves from the table, the Roman government will replace him in a day. There's a long line of people waiting to take up that income that he has and that lifestyle. He'll never get back. See, the thing about James and John, not to minimize their decision, but James and John, Peter and Andrew, they follow Jesus and it doesn't work out. Guess what they do?
They fall back on fishing.
Which is what Peter did, John 21. Yeah. He goes back to fishing. This is a burn the bridges,
right?
Cut the ropes, now or never. It's over.
Yeah. Of the second, like he's already lost everything before.
Yes,
now
yes.
He's going to lose it again.
Yes, he's going to lose it again in a different way. Yeah. And Jesus says, come follow me. And Matthew knows if he says yes, everything is going to change for him. Number one is he didn't even know if these guys are going to accept him.
Yeah.
He is damaged goods. He is an outcast. He is the Mamzer. And now he's going to live with these guys. And Jesus says, come follow me. And Matthew says, yes.
Wow.
And I just think about it in my own life. Why would Matthew do that? You know, you want to know why I think he did it?
Mm.
I think he missed the presence of God.
Yeah. That's what I circled right here. Like when you're talking,
yeah.
I just reflected on my own story. And I had money, pre-ministry, pre-following Jesus like I am, success, clout, but I missed the presence of God.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of something bigger.
He missed the presence of God.
And we're all searching for something.
Yeah.
And whatever Matthew was searching for could only be filled by Jesus.
Yes. Now, here's what's cool about Matthew. His name, we asked earlier, his name, Levi, means joined or connected together. Now, Levi, the Levites were joined and connected to God. But here's a man living against the very name he was giving. Because he's not joined or connected. He is disconnected and separated.
Yeah.
Jesus comes and says, your name was Levi, but I'm going to call you Matthew. Do you know what Matthew means?
I do not.
Does it?
Matthew means.
Is it gift of God?
Gift of God. Yes. Candy nailed it. Gift of God. And isn't it amazing that God is going to use this man who is on the fringe of society, who is the most hated person in all of Israel, who is a Mamzer, and he's going to empower him to be the one who pins the first gospel in the New Testament of his book.
Wow.
Amen.
And I think it's an encouragement for all of us to know that we're not damaged goods.
No.
We're not too far gone. The final chapter of your life is yet to be written. And don't think down on yourself because of what you've done. God, what we like to say is God can do more in a moment in your life than any man or woman can manufacture in a lifetime. I have to believe this as we close, that many times when Jesus was sitting around a fire with the disciples and all the guys were hanging out and joking around and resting from the day after a long day of ministry, I have to believe Matthew pulled Jesus aside on many occasions and with tears in his eyes asked him, hey, boss, why'd you pick me? There was nothing in me. Why'd you choose me? And that's the attitude I think we all should have. We are unworthy. We're undeserving. And yet that's what makes grace so amazing, which is what his name means.
Yeah. So it makes grace a gift.
Wow. Well, Pastor, I think that's a great way to close out this episode now that I'm all emotional.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, man, what a great idea to close on and for you to reflect on this week. The grace of God is just amazing in our life. So, Pastor, thank you for that, Candy. As always, thank you again for joining us. And if man, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, share it with a friend. Now, this is one that you may need to send somebody who also feels like an outcast at times. Join us along the journey on social media where you can ask us some questions. We'd love to connect with you there. And we will see you on the next episode.